I should probably do the open.
And welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast.
That's my breaking news sound.
I know. Brought to you by the Dynasty Football Network and DynastyFootballFactory.com. Yes, this is a special episode of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast.
Welcome to episode 38 and a half.
And 38 is going to be called the lost episode. My name is Michael Sipes. You can find me on Twitter at FF Blitz. And I'm here with my partner, Shane Manila.
Hello.
At DFF underscore Shane. And yeah, like we're saying, this is kind of a last minute thing we threw together tonight. It's Saturday night. All the cuts, everything happened today. That's why we don't have Jeremy with us. It's Labor Day weekend. And he wasn't available to do this, but too much stuff happened today. So we're scrapping the show and we're going to go with all this information.
Thursday. So we taped Thursday, a little behind the curtain stuff for everyone. We taped Thursday and that episode sucked.
Wait a second.
Largely. There was some good stuff in there, and you'll go ahead, and what you'll do is
I'll make a Patreon episode of it. So people,
that's what I was going to say. So this is real quick. I'm just going to plug our Patreon page.
Go for it.
Go become an exclusive member of our Patreon page. You get bonus podcast episodes. You can get one-on-one advice. You can get trade advice, roster advice. You can get Dynasty Trade HQ t-shirts, which are actually on order now. I'm getting some nice 50-50 blends. So they'll be in stock soon. You can get exclusive giveaways when we have guests on. I'm going to be in the podcast. I'll be purchasing, you know, some of the reports or books or whatever that our guests put out. We had Jordan McNamara on a few weeks back. So I went ahead and purchased the Analytics of Dynasty, for one of our Patreon members. So go become a patron, support the podcast, and we'll support you. Like I said, extra podcasts, not safe for work podcasts. You can get advice from us as low as, well, $1 a month. Just if you want to go on there and just be like, I love you guys and I don't have that much money, but I'm going to help a brother out. A brother will accept that.
Yeah. They'll also get episode or part of episode 38. So, yeah, there's just so much to talk about.
You'll get the good part of 38. It'll be the trade talk. Cause that's all that was good. We got some good dynasty trash trade offers and we got some good trades that were good. But the rest of the episode was butt.
Not only that, though, we talked about some players that actually ended up getting cut today. So that's the other reason.
God damn it.
So why don't we just get right into it? Well, actually, before the cuts, there was an even bigger news than the cuts, which was Jerick McKinnon going down with a torn ACL at practice.
That is insane. Jerick McKinnon, his value spiked to second round startups for some people. Never that for me. I just, you know, I liked him and he was a guy I was buying in on. And he's a guy I wrote an article about. I saw him as a supercharged Tevin Campbell. Nope, that's a singer. I saw him as a supercharged
Tevin Coleman.
But, you know, it looked like he got hurt already a couple times in San Francisco. And today, apparently, he cut. In the last play of practice, apparently he cut in the open field, no one around him. And, you know, anytime a guy goes down without contact, that it's bad. And it came back as a torn ACL. So Jerick McKinnon out for the season. They had already cut Joe Williams, who Kyle Shanahan pounded the table for last year. Sorry, that'll be the last reference to that on the roster. So Joe Williams is not an option there unless they bring him back. But you know what they got there. So Jerick McKinnon's gone.
Right.
He's gone for the season.
Right. So what they got there?
Okay. So they got Alfred Morris, who is, you know, he's Alf.
Right.
Yeah. He's not very impressive. You know, thinking about what he did filling in last year for Zeke, I must have been drunk all last season because I thought he put up better numbers than he did. So, you know, I just went to look up his game logs from last year. You know how many games he had with over 10 fantasy points?
Three.
Close. Oh. He had two.
Oh, okay.
Two.
I took a guess.
and it should be impossible. He had one game where he had 19 carries and he only had 11 and a half fantasy points. That's impressive.
But isn't it more about what he did when he was in Washington with the coach there, and now things are that way over here in 49ers?
Well, many, many years ago, yes.
Right, many years ago, but that's why people care, right?
Well, people are stupid then, because he's not that he's not that elf. He's 30 years old now, and he was never a speed guy. So whatever speed he had is gone. He was never really very agile. He's above average agility. Decent burst score. He doesn't catch passes. You want to know how many passes he catches a season?
Sure.
Over 6 seasons?
Sure.
So I did some math because I have a calculator and I can do simple math. 9.5 receptions a year.
A year. Okay.
A year.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I didn't even look up his targets because who gives a shit at 9.5 receptions a year? So you know who I'm buying?
Yes, that's what I was just going to say. So what about Matt Breida? That Buy seems me. To be...
All the Matt Breida.
I wish people could see your face. You said all, like this long all. Yeah, no, I agree. It's like Matt Breida blew up all over Twitter today. And we're actually in our listener league draft going on right now. We're like in the 13th round or whatever, 16 team. And Breida and Alfred Morris both went in this round of picks. But obviously Breida went before.
You know, I traded back out of the round before I guess the news was official of Jerick McKinnon being out for the season.
Right.
Otherwise I would have stayed on the clock and taken Breida here. And just so people know, it's a 16 round, it's a 16 team league. So we're already at the point where you're picking backups of guys. And Matt Breida, I think, has a very good chance to be at least a running back two this year.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, and it's funny, the 16 team league is just ridiculous. I mean, we're in the 13th round or whatever, and we're already scraping the bottom of the barrel. I don't know how we're going to get to 30 rounds.
No one cares about that. So
but Matt Breida just went because of that. And like I said, all over Twitter, everybody's saying grab Matt Breida. And so there's no other choice, right? You're just saying it's Matt Breida and it's Alfred Morris and that's it. Are they going to try to do something else? Going to try to bring somebody else in?
I'm sure there's guys out there they could pick up that were cut from other teams that we'll get into later. One guy that holds a special place in Dynasty Football Factory's heart is Capri Bibbs.
Oh, yeah.
But really, he's receiving back, and Matt Breida showed last year that he's a good receiver. Matt Breida is a great athlete. He's got a 88th percentile spark score, right?
Right.
So that's good. Very good. He's a little undersized, 5'9", 195 when he came into the league. I guarantee you with some NFL food in him and the conditioning, he's probably at least 200 pounds now.
NFL food? There's like a specific food for the NFL?
Well, you know, in college you're eating ramen noodles. In the NFL you're eating like linguine.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I never thought about it that way. That's pretty funny. Like you said about Capri Bibbs, we'll get to that later. There's a lot of those guys that got cut today. But the other big thing that got cut, I mean, there's so many big things.
No, we're still talking about Jerick McKinnon. Hold on. I got more Matt Breida stuff.
Oh, okay. So go ahead.
This Jerick McKinnon thing is deeper than losing a guy for a season. So, and I'll get into a little bit why, but. Well, I'll just do that now.
I was going to say, do it now. Yeah, we have so much to talk about.
Let me tell you, this is why I'm buying Breida, and I'm throwing out second round rookie picks, 2019 rookie pick offers for Matt Breida right now in every league. Matt Breida is a guy I liked to be the Tevin Coleman to, he was going to be like a poor man's Tevin Coleman.
Okay.
How I envisioned him in Kyle Shanahan's offense. Tevin Coleman's obviously a better route runner. Anyone that's watched football knows that. But Matt Breida is a good receiver. What's funny is he had 21 receptions on 36 targets last season. He only had 22 receptions total in his 3 years in Georgia Southern, which is a real school. I looked it up. Georgia Southern is in the Sun Belt. So I'm not really sure where that is, what division that is, but it's a real school.
And it's in the Sun Belt.
Yeah, they have a real website and all. I checked it out because I wasn't too sure. But anyway, so last year he almost matched his 3-year total in receptions in college. But he was very good. 21 receptions. If McKinnon was there, obviously he was going to be squeezed for targets because McKinnon's a good receiver. Alf Morris is terrible. He's a terrible receiver. I already talked about, you know, he only has 9.5 receptions per season. Matt Breida is probably, and this might sound crazy, but he might get 60 to 70 receptions this year. You think it's crazy, but Alf Morris is the other running back in that system. Kyle Shanahan likes throwing to his running backs. Look at Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman, you know, during his time in Atlanta. I'm expecting Breida to get 60 receptions this year.
Well, what about the wide receivers? Is that going to pick up for the wide receivers now because Jerick McKinnon's not there?
I mean, the targets are there, but, you know, they're different kind of routes. They're different kind of – well, basically, they're different kind of routes and they're different kind of passes. The dump-offs and things are obviously going to go to Breida when he's on the field. I expect him to be the third down back, unless it's third and short, and then you let Alf just run forward for his 4.4 yards that he's averaged over his career.
But for fantasy-wise, I mean, we talk about
Matt
this –
Breida.
No, I know, but Matt Breida is actually now the poster child for what we've talked about for the last couple of weeks on the show, too. You know, you could draft all these top running backs and all that kind of stuff in your startups and all that kind of trade for them and everything. But then you get to week 14, 15, and then you're starting the Matt Breidas. However, in this case, you're starting the Matt Breidas on week one. So you said it before, you know, people who spend this high draft capital on a running back and pass on the wide receivers, they could get the Matt Breidas in the 10th round or like we got in the 13th round, you know? So that's why people need to keep an eye on these running backs, because once the big one goes down, the next man up.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the thing, and I'll talk about it later, how you shouldn't buy into a lot of late round players. But again, as always, context, not contacts, but contacts matter too.
Context.
If you wear glasses like me, but context with an matters. X. Yeah, that matters even more. And in this situation, Matt Breida is literally the only back on the roster that can catch the ball. Alf has hands. I mean, he can catch the ball in theory, but he's just not very good at it. So Breida's going to be the receiving back. I expect Breida to get some carries. He saw 105 carries last year. I don't know how much that'll tick up, maybe 150. But I do expect 60 to 70 receptions. And it sounds crazy, but I had McKinnon penciled in for somewhere, you know, north of 70, close to 80 receptions. They're not going to change their whole scheme and what they want to do. They're going to change who they're throwing to. It's not going to be Alfred Morris. Now, the long-term impact on this, because this is dynasty football that we play.
Correct.
That's what adults play, real men and women play, right?
Right. Exactly. Right. Real men and women, yes.
So I fleshed this out on Twitter a little bit earlier, and I'm just going to say it here now. I think we've seen the last of Jerick McKinnon in San Francisco already.
I mean, it's not surprising. I mean, what kind of contract did he sign with them before this all happened?
Heavily front loaded. So everyone knows it was a giant contract. I forget the exact total, but you know, the exact totals of contracts don't really matter anymore anyway, except for guaranteed money. So they can get out of that contract after this season. They can cut Jerick McKinnon and it'll only be $1.5 million dead cap, which is nothing in the NFL. That is nothing.
Well, exactly. So then what happens? I mean, you're talking about, okay. What do you think is going to happen then?
So
I love that. That was funny.
Matt Breida, who's going to play a poor man's version of Tevin Coleman this season, right?
Uh-huh.
He might get to play with Tevin Coleman next year because Tevin Coleman's an unrestricted free agent.
I'm going to mark this show and I'm going to bring it back up next year when we have the free agent in the real NFL. That would be amazing if something like that happens.
Yeah. See, here's the thing. I don't want to be a coach worshiper, but you know, guys have systems, and Shanahan's shown that he likes to rotate his backs a little bit. He likes backs that can catch the ball, you know, that are multidimensional, and he doesn't just want one multidimensional back. He prefers to have two. And if you could have Tevin Coleman as your lead back and then Matt Breda as your backup, that's pretty good. You're doing pretty well. So next year, Tevin Coleman and Matt Breda could be the current version or the current iteration or the evolvement of Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. It's like a parallel universe. I don't even know. It's like Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman morph into Tevin Coleman and Matt Breda. I don't know. It's like a string theory type deal where in this universe, this ripple causes this, that it's happening in real time. It's amazing. We're basically watching a parallel universe.
God, with the whole flashlight under the face to make their face look different. Yes. You got to be pretty old to understand that. But you know, they can also draft somebody next year or whatever. But so go ahead.
That's my thinking is, even if it's not Tevin Coleman, I foresee that Matt Breda is going to continue to have a role. And I think Matt Breda showed last year that he's an explosive player that can perform well in you know, a specific role. He's not going to be a guy that you want carrying the ball 10 to 15 times a game, but he is a guy that you wouldn't mind carrying the ball maybe 5 to 8 to maybe sometimes 10 times a game. You know what I mean? But definitely getting receptions and throwing him the ball, he's going to be a weapon in that passing game. And I think he's going to be a weapon for a couple of years.
Well, and what's funny is we're down to the wire now. We're like, what, 5 days away from the NFL? So most drafts are done. I know there's actually some people doing them this weekend. We're actually doing one right now. I did one last night. So for the people that are not able to draft him, now you're telling people to go out there and trade for him, like you said, to trade a second round pick. So
yeah. You know me, I'm aggressive when it comes to trading. If I want a player, I'm willing to pay cost and I'm willing to overpay.
Good.
Or what other people feel is an overpay, because I want to get that player. I don't want to send an offer just to send an offer.
Sure.
It's not perfunctory. Is that how you say that word?
I'm sure probably not, but I'm not even actually sure what you said, but the way you said it. But listen, Wait, we have so much stuff. This all is right. Why we did this show. So before we get on to all the cuts and all that kind of stuff, though, we have to talk about our new sponsor, which is SquadQL. And do you want an unfair advantage to dominate your fantasy football league? Look no further and download SquadQL, the only mobile app you need to crush your friends and rivals. SquadQL recommends the best starting lineup each week based on your starters, the bench players, and the free agent pool too. So it figures that all that stuff out. So SquadQL provides waiver and trade recommendations. So go to squadql.com to download SquadQL for free. SquadQL is brought to you by the creators of RotoQL, the leading daily fantasy optimizer trusted by over 100,000 DFS players. So, you know, go check them out. They're our new sponsor. Uh-oh, what?
I haven't jumped on SquadQL tonight because, you know, with all the cuts,
it's been so crazy.
The Jerick McKinnon news, it's all crazy. But I guarantee you, if you go on there right now, it would suggest that you trade for Matt Breda.
Probably. All right, so enough Matt Breda. So we had so many cuts, so many trades, so many things that happened. Now, look, I know you say that you don't care about IDP, but Khalil Mack being traded is huger than any of these other trades.
No, yeah, I don't want to pretend that IDP doesn't matter, but it doesn't. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and we're going to move on.
No, wait, let me just say one last thing about it. I mean, that's a humongous deal that they traded him away. And one of the things, listen, you say that you don't care about IDP. Okay, fine. So around IDP, it affects your offensive players too. You know, by Khalil Mack going over to the Bears, that affects all the NFC North quarterbacks, don't you think?
I guess, but I whatever.
You're not even going to try to figure it out. So
no, I'm actually going to go pay a bill while you're talking about this.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, then what about the players on the Raiders? It affects them, too. You know, everybody says the fact that they didn't bother to pay him and they decided to trade him implies that what they feel like is that team is a rebuilding team. Now, do you believe that?
I don't know what the hell that team is, to be honest with you, except a poorly run organization. And you know what's evidence of that?
What?
You know what happened today?
What?
Yeah, everybody knows. Whatever.
I know, but I want to hear you say it.
They cut Martavius Bryant.
Uh-huh.
Because he has failed another drug test and is looking at probably an indefinite suspension, which is basically a lifetime ban.
So they traded what? A third round pick for him, right?
Third round pick for Martavius Bryant, which was ridiculous to begin with. Even if Martavius Bryant didn't have the history of drug suspensions, he was never that good. And they traded a third round pick for him. What did the Browns trade for Jarvis Landry?
I don't remember. What did they trade for him?
Okay, so the Dolphins traded a 2018. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God.
What? What happened?
Oh, I love those pop-up ads that just start playing music on their own. So anyway, 2018 fourth round pick and a 2019 seventh round pick.
For Jarvis Landry. And then what did they trade?
The Raiders traded a third round pick for freaking Martavius Bryant. Look, I'm not a big Jarvis Landry fan. Everybody knows that. I don't know that he's actually good at football, but I know that he's produced on the NFL level. He, I'm probably wrong because he's produced repeatedly season after season. Martavius Bryant, his best season wasn't even that good. And the Raiders traded a third round pick for the guy. And he has a history of drug issues.
And also, didn't the Raiders also trade for Switzer sometime and then turned around and traded him again?
Haven't they done some weird shit this
offseason? Yes.
And they cut the best punter in the league because, I don't know, Gruden's old and grumpy.
But there's still one more thing that they did today, too.
And traded Khalil Mack. Oh, my God. And today,
they did
get a backup quarterback. Woo-hoo. And, yep, traded for A.J. McCarron.
So they were very busy today. Whether you agree with what they did or not, they got a lot of stuff and got rid of a lot of stuff.
I don't agree with anything they've done. I don't know what the hell they're doing.
Well, that's why I said before, a lot of people are mentioning they all think that they're just rebuilding.
Rebuilding implies you have a plan. I don't think John Gruden has a plan. I think he's just doing stuff.
Do you remember how excited everybody was when he'd signed with them?
I wasn't.
Listen, you know what? I think you're right. If we go back to the show that we talked about.
I never was. I thought he's a raging idiot listening in on Monday Night Football. I thought this guy's a fucking doofus.
What do you think the people in Vegas are thinking right now? We're like, that team's supposed to be here in Vegas in 2 years.
I think they're, well, it's a Saturday night, so they probably got better shit to do.
we'll find out in 5 days. We'll be there, so that'll be cool. All right.
So Martavius Bryant has been released. Uh-huh. He's probably going to be suspended for the rest of his life from the NFL, and I should have accepted multiple offers I received.
Yeah.
In the two leagues I own him in, and I was hard-headed and didn't, and now I will be cutting him. So A.J. McCarron traded to the Raiders for a fifth-round pick.
Correct.
So Buffalo, I'm assuming, and I haven't seen any news yet, and it might come out before, you know, this publishes on Monday or posts, whatever.
I'm posting this tomorrow.
All right, there you go. I'm guessing Nathan Peterman's going to be starting at least the beginning of the season. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I wouldn't be too surprised if he does, but I also believe that Josh Allen will be the starting quarterback for that team, whether it's week one, week three. I can't imagine it's past week three. I think that they'll throw him out there and he'll be the guy and Peterman will just be his backup. You know, it's really telling that they traded A.J. McCarron away. I mean, I think they're fine. I mean, who knows? Everybody says that that's a horrible run organization, you know. And what was last year? Last year was the first time they even made the playoffs in, 20 years, whatever the hell
it
was.
And they tried not to. They tried to impress not to.
By benching Tyrod Taylor.
Tyrod Taylor.
No, he's Tyrod. Whatever. But no. It actually is very telling. They traded away McCarron, and all they got was a fifth-round pick for him. So they're fine with the two guys they're going with, but I believe that it'll be Josh Allen as the starter and Peterman will be his backup. That's what I think.
Yeah, and you know, I'm feeling I grabbed Josh Allen in a few drafts, and one of the drafts that he specifically comes to mind to is I had an FFPC Superflex Dynasty draft. And speaking of the FFPC, you should check them out and get into a league.
Yes.
They're affiliated with us, and we'll actually be out there in Vegas during their event this weekend.
Woo-hoo!
But yep, just go ahead on our site, Dynasty Football Factory. We've teamed up with the FFPC to offer unique high stake fantasy leagues. Check it out. There is a link on our website. Make sure you hit up the FFPC. I love their site. But anyway,
wait, so there's one more thing. You said we're going to be in Vegas next week. We've actually gotten some emails and some tweets from people asking us if they can come see us. And I do want to tell everybody, yes, you can. Shane and I will be there with DFF all day on Thursday and all day on Saturday. So you want to come by, you can come say hey to us. We're going to be recording. We'll be taking pictures, doing all that kind of stuff. So come say hey. We'll be there all day Thursday and all day Saturday. But
yeah, definitely come by. And, you know, the Jasenia will be there, and she's smoking. Don't tell anyone. My wife's around. But for you single guys, you can come ogle her. I'll be doing something. I don't know. But yeah, dude, if anyone's out in Vegas, you hear this, just DM me, man. We'll go get some drinks.
Yeah, we actually had somebody from the Listener League said he talked to his wife, and she said it's okay to go. So he's going to come out and see us while we're out there. So wait.
That's nice of his wife to trust him. So
speaking of backup quarterbacks, your team, guy.
I wasn't finished with the whole Josh Allen thing.
Do you know how much stuff we have to talk about?
Yeah,
we need
fine.
To
we're
go
there.
On.
We're good. So anyway, so in one FFPC draft, I actually selected Josh Allen.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you were saying that. Yeah. Go ahead.
I selected Josh Allen in my FFPC Superflex draft. You're only allowed to draft three quarterbacks in those FFPC Superflex leagues. And like I said, make sure you hit up our site and click the link for the FFPC. Anyway, so I drafted Baker Mayfield before him, fully expecting that Baker Mayfield's going to start before him. And now it looks like Josh Allen will be starting way before him. So that pick's looking better.
Woohoo! And now I want to say something about my team, which I know you don't want me to because you're going to make a face. But in our listener league, I drafted Cousins and Brady, which I got a lot of shit from you guys about me drafting Brady, but who cares? But
listen
then
to the Patreon episode, guys. Make sure you become a Patreon member just because you got to hear Sipes and Sipes and Jeremy were going at it pretty
good.
Oh,
my God. Okay, yes. And I'm not even going to get into that. But later on, I did draft Josh Allen. I actually traded up to get him. And in a 16-team Superflex, it's freaking hard to get multiple quarterbacks. But no, I agree. I did the same thing. I traded up for him. And that was before the trade of AJ McCarron. So I was happy. Plus, I keep getting a lot of trade offers from people. So what I was saying to you was the other backup quarterback situation, which is your situation, your awesome, amazing Super Bowl winning team. They've said that for week one, Carson Wentz isn't going to be ready and Foles will be starting.
Well, they haven't officially announced it, but it's according to multiple reports and everything on the local news, which, you know, I read a little bit of because most of it is trash. But local beat writers, it sounds like Wentz is going to miss at least the first game. And that's fine. I mean, it's only been 8 months since he tore his ACL and some other ligament that I can't pronounce. So I'm not even going to bother to.
That's why they give him initials.
Yeah, it's supposed to be about a 12-month injury.
Uh-huh.
So the fact that he's even this close to playing is that's fine. You know, look, if he misses a few games, that's fine. Now, for fantasy purposes, I'm a little nervous if you own Nelson Aguilar, because also with Wentz not playing, it's already been reported and almost confirmed that Alshon's not going to be playing the first two games. And that just makes me nervous because I hope they don't put Nelson Aguilar back on the outside because he showed in his first two seasons that he's just not an outside receiver. He belongs in the slot. So if you own Nelson Aguilar, I will give you some week one advice. Just check the practice reports for the Eagles and the local news, or the local sports reporters, just to see if he is lining up on the outside in practice. See if Peterson talks about where he's going to be lining up during the actual game. Because if he's lining up outside, I'm a little bit nervous about his production, especially with Foles in there, because Foles has looked absolutely horrendous in the preseason.
Yeah, and, you know, I know we mentioned it when we did that Patreon thing, but we're going to be in Vegas on Thursday, and you actually commented that you may be betting against your boys on Thursday night.
Oh. Let me say this, because, you know, that's a little harsh. Whatever the over-under is, I'm going to be taking the under, because I think the Eagles are going to be playing a ball control type of game. I expect to see a lot of Jay Ajayi, a lot of Corey Clement, a little bit of Darren Sproles. And I don't even know the fourth running back that made the roster. It might be Wendell Smallwood.
Oh, I know Pumphrey was cut.
Pumphrey was cut because he's terrible at football.
So and, then it would be Smallwood. Yeah.
And Josh Adams, who was a guy that a lot of people liked. Yeah, he was cut too.
You mentioned him a couple weeks ago. Yeah. So
yeah.
That's the thing. So many guys were cut today that it's those kind of things where it's the end of your roster, your fifth round rookie pick, you know, all these different things. And we'll go through all those cuts in a little bit. But now, besides cuts, besides injuries, we also had some guys that have been injured in the off season that are now being designated, whether they're on the PUP or the IR or anything. And the big one was Hunter Henry. Hunter Henry was not put on the IR. He was put on the PUP, correct?
Yeah, yeah. And before the show, I was throwing together a show sheet, and I just saw his name on Roto World, but I didn't actually read the blurb because the guy tore his ACL, so I just assumed that meant that he was going, you know, they finally put him on the IR, and I was going to remind the listeners, you need to go update your rosters. You can put him on the IR and open it. You finally got that spot now. And you pointed out to me like, no, he's on the PUP.
Another behind the screen thing, you know?
Yeah. He's eligible to return in week seven, excuse me. That's
a big deal. That's a lot different than saying he's done for the year.
Yeah. I don't think he's coming back. I can't see that. I mean, he tore his ACL in May. That's 4 months ago. You know, if he could come back, 6 weeks? That's puts you late October, I guess. I'm not good with math. Whatever. it's not a lot of time. I don't think he'll be coming back, but it's just interesting that they left that option out there.
Well, but yeah, but you know, I always say this to my friend Dynasty Greg. He always says, oh, this is it. This is it. And I said, well, aren't these people that are paid to do this job, they know maybe a little bit more than we do. So if they believe, I mean, they left that option open, right? I mean, so maybe there's more to it than we know, and they think that he will be able to come back.
Yeah, either way, it's definitely interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Another guy that was put on something similar to the PUP, it's the non-football injured list, was Ed Dixon.
So it's similar to the PUP, but it's called the NFI.
Yeah, it's basically non-football related injury. It has to do with the timing of when you were injured. It's a whole bunch of boring shit that I read that no one needs to really understand. But the important thing to remember is that he's designated to return, and he can return after week six.
Cool.
So what everyone needs to do is go pick up Nick Vinette if they haven't. And I know they haven't because I am in – we will say it again, too many leagues, like 30 something. The wife is close, so I got to kind of whisper in that.
Is she really?
Yeah. So what I did is, you know, I went on MFL and hit the all my leagues and looked him up. And actually, he was available in about 5 leagues. So, I put blind bids on him. And other ones, the waivers already ran, so I could pick him up. Nick Vinette, 6'6", 257 pounds. Now, he's not very athletic. His closest player comp is Jake Ballard. he wasn't very impressive in college. In fact, his college dominator rating was 8th. He was in the 8th percentile. That's really bad. That's like if that was your grades and you're in the 8th percentile, that school wouldn't even fail you. They would call your mom and just say, look, this isn't going to work out. Find something else for him to do. He should just become maybe a bathroom cleaner but, right now.
Hey, hey, hey. There's nothing wrong with being a bathroom cleaner, everybody.
No. I'm not saying a janitor. I'm saying a bathroom cleaner. That's the only job he could handle. Anyway.
But it doesn't even matter, though. If he's the only person available, then he's going to play.
He's 6'6", 257 pounds. That just screams of goal line threat. He was picked in the third round. So obviously, you know, the Seahawks saw something they liked about him. Guy's still pretty young, 24 years old. I looked up some stats from last year. You know, Jimmy Graham and Paul Richardson are gone, right?
Right.
You know that.
Right? I know that. Yeah, Jimmy Graham's over there in Green Bay. It's going to be awesome this year.
So
I only say that because I have him in the listener league. So go ahead.
So between those two, there's 176 available targets.
Okay.
Doug Baldwin's already talking about he's got his knees not feeling right. Tyler Lockett has never really produced, but, you know, obviously they're going to see I would assume Tyler Lockett's definitely going to see an uptick in targets. And Brandon Marshall's out there too. And you know what? If Brandon Marshall's available on your waiver wire, that's another guy you got to pick up and, you know, stash on the bottom of your roster and just see how that plays out. But for me, Nick Vinette is the guy I'm going after because he's going to be the starting tight end for the first 6 weeks. There's 176 available targets just from Jimmy Graham and Paul Richardson not being there. If you take into account Amari Darbo, J.D. McKissick, Eddie Lacy, Thomas Rawls, I mean, I don't know why this is funny. There's over 200 targets available.
I just think it's funny because some of the names you're saying, the way you even say it, you say it with like such disdain.
Well, I mean, I actually like J.D. McKissick. He's a guy that I did like. He filled in as that receiving back last year when C.J. Procise was injured again. And C.J. Procise made the roster, by the way. So he's apparently healthy. Okay. Yeah, I know. I'm just saying that's a guy I still own in a lot of leagues, mostly because I refuse to cut him. and every offer you got for him was like, I'll give you a rookie fifth round pick. And you're like, well, we only have four rounds in our rookie draft. You're like, I don't even know how you offered me this. Is this from another league?
No, it's one of those bullshit things where people are texting you on the side first. I can't stand those things.
Yeah. So I'd say definitely go pick up Nick Vinette. Yes. Brandon Marshall's another guy I'd look to pick up. And CJ Procise, I mean, just check. I doubt he's available in any leagues with a roster size bigger than 20. But if you're in a 20-man league and you're hurting for running backs, well, not a 20-man. I'm sorry. If you're in a,
I was going to say a 20-man bench league, even if you are desperate for running backs, that would suck to have to pick him up.
Yeah, yeah. No. I'm sorry. I meant like your roster size is only 20. But if, like I said, if you're desperate for running backs and you're taking stabs on guys like, oh, I don't know, Jonathan Williams.
That's another thing. Yeah, Jonathan Williams is also on our Patreon thing. Like I said at the beginning of the show, we recorded a show on Thursday that became totally obsolete because of all the cuts and everything that happened today. And one of the things that we talked about, Shane talked about Jonathan Williams. So what happened today, Shane?
So thankfully that's all going to be cut out and not even the Patreons will hear that because they'll just hear a very condensed version of Thursday's show where we sound smart. So
I'm sorry, but yes. So what happened to him today? He got cut, right?
He got cut. Are you kidding me? What the hell? So now Boston Scott is an actual to God thing. I just, you know, what's weird about the whole Boston Scott thing and why I never really bought into him is, first of all, he's a sixth round draft pick.
Right.
Secondly, he has no picture on his player profiler.com. He's just that shadow outline, which usually tells you, like, this guy's probably not going to be very good.
Yeah, and it really sucks, too. When you mentioned it earlier pre-show, I was like, who's Boston Scott?
So his college dominator rating, non-existent, 40th percentile. His college yards per carry was actually in the 60th percentile. The one thing he has going for him is, one, he's on the New Orleans Saint roster, which is a good thing to be because right now it's Alvin Kamara and Boston Scott. And I honestly don't even know because they also put Shane Vereen on the IR.
So what's going on then? Wait, hold on.
I don't feel like looking it up. You can. So, right, yeah. So, well, in the last,
you talk, I'll look it up. Go ahead.
So, in the last week and a half, they cut Terrence West, which a lot of us thought really cemented Jonathan Williams' role as the Mark Ingram type player until Mark Ingram returned. And we were all wrong because Jonathan Williams was cut today. Shane Vereen was placed on the IR. And right now they have Alvin Kamara and Boston Scott, and I don't know who else. Yeah, Boston Scott, the one thing he does have, he is very good metrics. He's or athletic metrics, I should say. He's a 86th percentile spark athlete. He's got a great burst score, 84th percentile. He's got a great 40-yard dash time. He's in the 91st percentile. His speed score is a little lower, though. He's only in the 60th percentile because for his size, he should be faster. But he's got great agility score, 97th percentile. I looked up his college stats. He really didn't do a lot in college. So for a small running back, you know, a lot of times you assume you want them to be quick, fast, and you want them to be receivers because they're little guys. You don't want them running in the middle of the line and getting blown up. So looking at his receiving totals in 5 years, and he had a couple, it looks like he had a couple freshman years. So I'm guessing he redshirted. It looks like he got injured. So really over the bulk of three seasons, he only had 32 receptions with 20 of those coming in his senior season. He went to Louisiana Tech, which is in the Conference USA. So I guess he's a little bit of a receiving back, but it's just weird with Alvin Kamara there. You thought they would have went with a bigger guy, but Boston Scott made the roster. So for at least the first 4 weeks, you would assume he's a guy that you're going to want to make sure is rostered if he's not already rostered.
Well, you know, there is another running back situation here where you wanted to tell people to roster somebody. And it's very interesting. Over there in Dallas, everybody says, fantasy football wise, you only want Ezekiel Elliott. You don't want anything else. I guess dynasty speak, you want Michael Gallup. But they cut their other running backs today too, right? They cut Bo Scarborough and they cut somebody else. So the only two running backs that they have is Zeke and Rod Smith.
Yeah, that was I'm shocked that they cut Bo Scarborough, but I was listening to the UTH podcast.
okay.
Oh, all right.
I didn't mean to laugh about that. Just the way you said it, but go ahead.
So I was listening to the UTH podcast. I think it was last week, and Katie Flower was talking about Bo Scarborough. Really didn't look good, and that she didn't hear good things about him. And that's actually the first I had even noticed of it, because I wasn't particularly watching that competition, but it is that they cut him. But yeah, so they cut Bo Scarborough. So guess what? You better go pick up Rod Smith if he's not rostered in your league.
You know, and it is pretty amazing too, because I went and looked, and I'm in 13 leagues. I know you're in more than that, but I went and looked, and he's actually on the waiver wire in a lot of leagues that I'm in. So if he's available, I mean, he's the only one, like you said, even in our listener league right now. The people in our listener league are going to hear this show. He's still available.
Yeah, I'm not picking him here anyway. But I'm saying he's definitely a guy. If he's sitting on your waivers, you need to go pick him up.
It is kind of funny because it's only those two. If that's truly the case, if it's only those two, we've discussed it on this show about how Zeke is a
idiot.
Yeah. I was trying to figure out a way to say it more diplomatic than that, but yeah.
No. I mean, the guy's a fucking moron. He doesn't know how to behave like an actual human being. I think we talked about it in the past.
Yes, we have.
I mean, he's just a moron. Hopefully he straightens his life out. I mean, he's a kid still. God. He's only, what, 22 years old, 23 years old. So he's a young guy.
It's going to be funny when people hear this. There's going to be a lot of blank sounds. All right, let's move on to the other people that were cut. There was
We actually have to move back because we skipped over one guy that also involved Buffalo. So when Josh Allen's finally starting... God, this hurts. This hurts. I can't even lie.
You're right. This was a big deal. This really was a big deal. But
Corey Coleman cut. Corey Coleman was the 15th overall pick in the 2016 draft. He was the first receiver off the board. Do you know?
I'm sorry. The reason I'm laughing, we had a conversation. We had a conversation a couple weeks ago about how, you know, everybody just, they want that rookie. They want that new shiny toy. They want that first, the first guy picked. Okay, so he was the very first wide receiver taken in that draft?
Yeah.
And where did he go in people's rookie drafts?
He was high. He was definitely a top half of the draft that year. I forget exactly. I didn't look up the ADP, but he was definitely one of the first wide receivers off the board after that in rookie drafts. And
listen, that's a whole nother show to go back and look at the odds and the percentage of those hitting. But this is a big one because not only was he cut, but he was traded for, wasn't he?
Yeah. Well, they didn't give up much for him. They traded a 7th round pick.
Which was telling in the first place.
Yeah. And you know, what's funny is that everyone laughed at Cleveland saying, oh, you just drafted this guy in the 1st round a couple years ago and all you got was a 7th round pick out for him. And I mean, at least they got something, I guess. Unfortunately, he flamed out. I got to think there's definitely some things that are going on with him as in his personal life. His personal activities that causes this, because to two teams to give up on a guy that physically talented, that had that much draft capital expended on him, and he's probably going to be out of the league, is just infuriating as a fan. Terrible as a dynasty owner of him. I looked it up. I had him in 9 leagues. I'm going to see if he clears waivers. If no one picks him up, it's time to cut ties. It's obvious that whatever that he might be as physically gifted as Odell Beckham Jr., but he does not have the mental capacity to be a successful player in the NFL.
It is funny. You know, we spoke about it a couple months ago and my point of view was that sometimes you have to move on and whether it's a year, 2 years, whatever. And I know at the time spoke about, you know, yes, you have to do it sometimes and sometimes you have to hold on. And at this point with somebody like him, I would have moved on. Even when the trade happened, I would have moved on. Hey, I have a trade alert while we're talking. You always pop in with your trade alerts while we're talking, but I just got a trade alert. Okay. So for me, you want to yell trade alert?
Yeah. Trade alert.
Thank you. In a league, which is a Superflex league, I have Derek Carr and I have Nathan Peterman plus Phillip Rivers and Drew Brees. But somebody just sent me a trade offer of AJ McCarron for Nathan Peterman.
Why you would get Nathan Peterman?
No, I have Nathan Peterman. They're offering me AJ McCarron. Because I have Derek Carr is why he's sending me the offer probably.
And this is Superflex?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd make that. I mean, unless you don't need another starter, do you?
I don't. I have Drew Brees and Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, you're not starting Nathan Peterman ever.
No.
Nah, yeah, I'd make that trade. At least lock up Derek Carr's backup.
There you go.
Well, his backup for this year, at least.
Well, I'm saying this isn't a big deal trade. It isn't a big deal trade alert, but it is something that I think is interesting because it's timely. It's what's going on right now in the real world.
Look, you know our salary cap league. I made a trade today. Brad Ziegler of the Miami Marlins.
No. Didn't he get traded? He's not at the Miami Marlins.
That's right. He's with Arizona now?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what sucks is I kept texting him like, dude, I hope you get traded to the Phillies. And he's like, oh, God, no. And
There were some interesting text chats in there.
The Phillies have really imploded, and part of that has been their bullpen, so he really could have helped us. But anyway, he helped me today because, you know, I have Carson Wentz in that league. So I traded him Ben Watson for Nick Foles.
Oh, Okay, cool. So, yeah,
I expect Ben Watson to have a good season, but you know, he's 37. I might as well lock up Wentz's backup. But again, man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut your trade off.
No, not at all. And like I said, this isn't even a big trade. It's just kind of interesting that it happened while we were talking, and it's kind of timely with what's going on. So that's why I wanted to see what you thought.
Look, man, I've said it before. You got to win at the margin sometimes, you know, locking up the backup quarterback for your starting quarterback in a super flex league. That's big.
Yeah.
I mean, because at least, you know, if your starting quarterback goes down, you know, you already have a fill in. I hate in super flex leagues when I have to grab someone else's backup, you know, because there's no guarantee that guy's ever going to help me in any way. Whereas at least if I do have, for example, Carson Wentz and Nick Foles, I know if anything happens on the Eagles, you know, to Carson Wentz, that I have that starting quarterback locked up.
Well, I'm going to accept that offer, and I'm going to thank you, Mr. Nate Cleaver, and I'll mention to you that we talked about you on the show. So,
you know what? We've got so much news. I really need to just take a break from the news, and I want to let everybody know about the Scouting Academy.
Oh, that would be awesome, because we do have to squeeze that in somewhere. So go ahead. Yeah. Why don't you mention it?
So what you need to do is invest in yourself and get a degree in player evaluation and assessment from the Scouting Academy. They've educated NFL GMs, personnel directors, and dozens of NFL scouts. Enroll today and you'll get to watch the same game tape that NFL coaches watch. You'll learn to look past the metrics with position by position analysis. This is a time-tested curriculum.
Sorry, go ahead.
This is a time-tested curriculum, a chance to learn from NFL execs and coaches with over 350 years of NFL experience and 14 Lombardi trophies between them, all here to teach you. Scout NFL like a pro and join the Academy, the Scouting Academy. Go on the Dynasty Football Factory website and you can save $50. We have a link. All you got to do is hit the logo, the Scouting Academy logo, sign up through Dynasty Football Factory. That link will set you up. You'll save $50 on their fall enrollment. And that's something that you should definitely look into. College football season's kicked off, and I would suggest that, you know, you join the Scouting Academy and learn what you're actually looking at.
Yeah. And sorry, everybody knows by now that part of the reason I laughed is because of the curriculum.
Yeah, it's pretty funny when you can't say it, huh?
Yeah, because I don't have the phonetically written thing in front of my face. So you're right. We have a lot of cuts to talk about. And one of the big ones was here in Miami with the Dolphins. They cut Leonte Carew. I mean, that was a third round pick. They thought something was going on. Right now, Devonta Parker is just such a bust. I don't even know what is happening here in Miami. They've got Danny Amendola now, Kenny Stills. What do you think? Is there anybody there that you want here in Miami?
Well, I thought I wanted Albert Wilson because I thought he was going to play the slot position and take over Landry's role. But apparently that's not the case. They've been lining him up on the outside. They've been using him out of the backfield and just moving him all over the field, and not in a good way. When a wide receiver moves all over the field, I want to hear that he's, you know, moving between X, Y, and Z, not from wide receiver to running back. Anytime they do that with you, you know you're a gimmick player. So that's a little disappointing. But at some point, Danny Amendola is going to get hurt, right?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, it's going to happen.
So what is it going to be? Just Kenny Stills and Albert Wilson?
I guess. I mean, Kenny Stills is definitely a guy that, you know, we like, as well as a lot of people like.
Right. I mean, you've got Kenny Stills, Devonta Parker, Albert Wilson, and Danny Amendola. Because they cut Leonte Carew. They cut Isaiah Ford. So you've only got those four. I mean...
Well, Jakeem Grant, if you really want to.
Yeah, that's true, too. You got him, too. So
I mean, depending on how deep your roster is. But it's amazing that Leonte Carew was a cut, man. He was a, what, third-round pick
a couple years? Yeah, he was not a, what was it, 2 years now?
Two years.
It's not even that long ago, you know?
Yeah, so. He was a third-round pick. He was a guy out of Rutgers. He's a guy that a lot of people liked. 6 foot tall, 211 pounds, 99th percentile college dominator score. That is amazing. His best comparable player was Roddy White. He's a guy that a lot of us had high hopes for. When he got drafted to Miami, a ton of us, and not just, you know, Dynasty Football Factory guys, but a ton of Dynasty Football and analysts and real football analysts talked about how he was going to eventually succeed Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, and it was supposed to be Parker and Carew. That's what everybody was saying at the time.
Yeah, and, you know, when Landry was traded, there was that fleeting 15 minutes where you thought, it's finally happening. It's finally happening. Carew is going to get his shot. And then Miami went out and signed Albert Wilson and Danny Amendola. And you're just like, wow, Carew's never going to be a thing. And he's cut today. And guess what? Carew's probably never going to be a thing.
Exactly. But, you know, there was a whole bunch of other guys that got cut today. I mean, we have a whole list, including some people that we talked about on that show Thursday.
All right. So we've got, and this is not an all-inclusive list. This is just some names that I know a lot of us would recognize. And it also serves a larger point. And I might have mentioned a couple of these guys earlier when we were talking about players. But so Amara Darbo from the Seahawks, Chad Hansen from the Jets, Bucky Hodges with, I don't even remember what team he is with now.
He's on the Steelers. And that one surprised me because even last week or 2 weeks ago when Jesse James got hurt, people were saying, last man standing, here comes Bucky Hodges. And they caught him today. Yeah.
Yeah. Trey McBride. Also, I'm not even sure what team he's with anymore. Josh Adams for the Eagles, Bo Scarborough, Terrell Watson. That's a name that a lot of us liked. And the holy grail of late round, the epitome of don't waste your time with these players, Jeff Janis.
You know, I'm sorry. I'm laughing at Jeff Janis because ever since I even came into working with you guys at DFF, it's been almost 3 years. I mean, there was all these Jeff Janis truthers, Jeff Janis this, Jeff Janis that. And I mean, the only other name in my head that comes to mind as much of that, that people always say that never did anything, was Christine Michael. And I think it's really funny that Jeff Janis got cut, but Christine Michael did not get cut. He made the team.
Well, here's the thing. So Marlon Mack was injured most of the preseason.
Right.
Nyheim Hines fumbled something like once every four times he touched the ball, which is, that would be some kind of record, not a good one.
I'm glad about that because it's just too hard to pronounce his name, but go ahead.
Jordan Wilkins really didn't look that good. God help me. Christine Michael might actually end up having a role in that roster.
You know, there was like 2 years ago in one of my leagues when Christine Michael got signed. God, I can't even remember now. Was it with Dallas 2 years ago? I don't remember. But it was like the week before the season started. And in one of my leagues, somebody spent their entire waiver wire fab money. The season hadn't even started yet, but he put every single dollar down on Christine Michael and he didn't do anything. And
he's a guy that, you know, just a lot of people wanted to believe in. I mean, he's
never going to die.
No, he will never die. Well,
I don't mean
Frank Gore.
Yeah. I don't mean physically die. I mean, the truthers will never give up on him. So put it that way.
So, you know, just thinking about this. And then, like I said, I'd been thinking about this for a while, but we need to stop even worrying about if someone is not drafted within the first three rounds of the NFL draft, and I, you know, whatever, call me a draft capital slave, whatever. I don't care. Draft capital actually matters. If anyone's drafted after the third round in the NFL draft, there goes noises again. If anyone is drafted after the third round of the NFL draft, there's literally no reason to care about them. Now, obviously, again, context. If it's they drafted an Antonio Callaway in the fourth round, well, that's a little different because the guy hadn't played football, you know, since 2016. The guy had been arrested 17 times or whatever. The fact that he went in the fourth round is amazing, and he probably would have been drafted in the first three rounds, clearly, if he'd played. But a majority of the guys drafted after the third round will not hit. Don't waste your time digging through all the, looking for sleepers. Don't worry about those guys. If every player you're looking at in your rookie draft that's left on the board was drafted after the third round, trade those rookie picks, those remaining rookie picks, for fab, because at least you can use that to spend it on a player in season that's going to help you win a game.
All right, listen, I want to say one thing. First of all, this is the first year that they did that massive cut all in one day, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So what happens now is we've been talking about this for months. my personal opinion, I've always thought that I want to, if I'm going to worry about rookies and worry about rookie picks, I want as high of a first round pick as I could get, you know, if it's a 103, 102, 101, whatever. And yeah, technically it's difficult to get those, but I always do as many trades and as many things as I can do to get those picks. Because really, the majority of the time that we get these rookies, they just don't work for us. And I know that you guys said, you have to have patience. You have to have patience. Well, I would prefer to have somebody getting me points this week than to have patience. And the other thing that happens in the offseason right now, especially this year, I don't even know how many times people talked about, oh, get this guy. Oh, get that guy. Oh, get this guy. He was undrafted. He was this and that. And then comes to this day when you get a massive cutting all at one time, you see all these people that we all talked about was going to be something and they're not. So as long as you're prepared mentally to know that you're taking people for the end of your roster spot, for your taxi squad, and you're hoping that it's a lottery ticket that might hit, then that's fine. But if you're thinking you're getting Jeff Janis as your Antonio Brown, or you're getting Bucky Hodges as your next Gronk, or even Chad Hansen. Do you remember how many people talked about Chad Hansen last year? Oh, yes, yeah.
A lot of us.
Exactly. The Jets have nothing. Oh, Chad Hansen's going to be the guy. You know, it's not the guy from the Dateline. It's a wide receiver. I mean, there's so many of these guys, and I don't want to say specifically because I don't know the percentages, but you could go to whatever league you're in, whether you're in multiple leagues or even one league, go back and look at your rookie drafts. Go back and look at your last three, four rookie drafts. See how many people hit out of those rookie drafts. And in my mind, I use the rookie picks as trade fodder. That's what I use them for. I don't particularly expect them to be my players.
And I'll agree with you at later round picks. First round rookie picks, you know, there's a 50-50 shot.
Well, and that's what I said before. I would go for the top of those guys. Because even in a 12-team league, the first 1.12, you don't know who the hell, whether that guy's going to hit or not. That's why I do as many multiple trades as I can to get as high as I can possibly can.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you. But all I'm saying is just NFL draft. Look, don't worry about that. Round four through undrafted free agent for the most part, like 90% of those guys aren't going to hit. So if I'm looking at my draft board, you know, my rookie draft board, just keep that in mind. Like I don't see if you're in the bottom of the second round and somehow all the first third, you know, guys that were drafted in the first three rounds are off the board, just sell those draft picks. Just sell them. Just kick them. You know what I mean? Just kick them for, just do your best to flip them, trade them for fab. I don't care. Trade them for older guys that no one likes. That's what I would do with them.
I want to throw one more thing in there, and this is for the people that we love. We have our Patreon account, and we also have our Listener League. Our Listener League draft is going on right now, and if you look at my team, I've already traded away all of my rookie picks for next year, except for my second. I stole my second. But I did that to keep moving up, because especially in a 16-team league, I want to get a player that's going to play for me, not so much somebody that's not. So I kind of went with that mentality that I don't really care about my third, fourth, fifth.
Yeah, I don't know why you made it a five-round rookie draft, because that is insane. Those fifth round, I got it outside of the first, I don't know, round, maybe two rounds. I'll give it two rounds. Our rookie drafts are going to be so horrible. They're going to be so, like, I'm not even going to do any research.
First of all, I just want to say one thing, another behind the scenes thing. I was away for 3 weeks. I was doing all that stuff for my brother's movie. I was away. You guys went ahead with everything with the Listener League, which we had talked about, but I wasn't in any conversation with you guys when you decided to do a 16-team league. And then once it was set up, then we just set up the league. We did a 30-round, 5-round rookie, and even the 30-round is killing us. We're like 5 days away from football, and we're in, what, the 14th round of the draft?
Yeah, we'll be fine. We'll be fine there, man. But I'm already dreading the rookie drafts. Like, I'm just...
I don't have to dread them. I already traded out of it. I got rid of all my picks. And I got starting players. So listen, there was... Looks like there's like one or two more names here, but one of them is a name that you spoke about the other day that you really loved, Chris Warren over there in Oakland.
So John Gruden doing more John Gruden things. He is Marshawn Lynch, who looked really good last year towards the end, the second half of the year, you know, when they actually gave him the ball.
Right.
And then Doug Baldwin, who hasn't looked good in 3 years. I guess I didn't even notice they might have. Sorry, you know, if the readers or yeah, the readers. Sorry. Yeah. So you have old man Lynch, who, you know, really played well second half of the season last year when you actually gave him the football and let him run. You have Doug Martin, who hasn't been good in at least 3 years and really is not that good at football anymore. You still have Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington, but they stashed Chris freaking Warren on the IR. So he is out for the year and one of those fake IR injuries, because they knew if they tried to put him on the practice squad that someone was going to take him and add him to the active roster. So Chris Warren stashed on the IR, and that breaks my heart, because I thought he would have a chance this year, that, you know, if one of the old guys went down, that he could have slid in there and been used, but
yeah,
wasn't to be.
In Dynasty, though, wouldn't you tell people, because you liked him, wouldn't you tell people to still stash him on your team?
No? Look, if you have an IR, yeah, keep him there. If you have a taxi squad, keep him there. If not, cut bait.
Well, yeah, sure. Only with those two things.
He's an undrafted free agent, so, you know, already the odds are bad. The fact that he didn't make the actual roster and that they just stashed him on, you know, the IR also doesn't speak well, because if they thought he was good enough to, you know, to actually play, they would have kept him on the active roster and wouldn't have created some fake injury to stash him on the IR. I mean, that's what the Eagles did last year with Donyell Pumphrey.
They stashed him
on the IR with some fake hamstring injury.
And then they cut him today, didn't they?
And they cut him this year when he was actually injured, and then they saw he still couldn't play. He's gone.
Yeah, I see. They also cut Hackenberg and Kamar Aiken. I didn't even realize Kamar Aiken was still there. There's one last one that we had on our list, which a couple weeks ago you had mentioned that he got cut and you told people to cut him. But then we saw on Thursday that he got signed by the Jets. So we redid something on Thursday's show that he got signed by the Jets. But then he got cut today by the Jets. And now we're talking about him again. Charcandrick West.
So Charcandrick West and Thomas Rawls. So the Jets went ahead and just cut the flotsam and jetsam, or whatever you call that, all the spare parts they had in the running back room, they're gone.
I'm just picturing the Little Mermaid swimming when you say that, but go ahead.
Flotsam and jetsam. I don't think that's the right word. I don't think either of those are actually words. So yeah, the one thing it says,
words.
I'm guessing Elijah McGuire is going to be fine. So that's good. You know, he should be back soon. And until then, it's going to be the Isaiah Crowell and Bilal Powell show. Which, you know, this is kind of good. I just hate like those four back rotations where, you know, there's just like, oh, this guy's got three carries, this guy's got four, and this guy's got five. At least it's just going to be a two man thing with Isaiah Crowell and Bilal Powell. But C-West, I'd say that you can definitely expel him from any rosters you might have been holding him on, no matter how deep your team is, even if it's an 80-man roster. And Thomas Rawls, the dream is over. You are gone, my friend.
What about your love for the rookie, Trenton Cannon? He made the team, too.
He did make the team.
He did make the team.
So he's a guy definitely to keep on your roster. Again, he's a late round pick, or he was undrafted. I'm not even sure. I forget right now. There's chances are he's not going to be anything ever, but that's fine. You know what I mean? If you got a bottom roster, that's what you do. You churn running backs.
Well, listen,
let's finish on a happy note. So there's a couple guys that made rosters that I know people have. Rico Gathers made the Cowboys roster, and that's great for all the Rico Gathers truthers, all seven of you.
And the funny thing about that is you want to end with that he made the Cowboys roster, but at the same time, he got arrested today, didn't he?
Did he? I thought you said it was the other guy.
No, it was him.
Oh, it was him. Well, he'll be all right.
You made me look it up, and it was him that got arrested.
But so, hey, in other news, Rico Gathers was arrested for Weed possession?
Listen, I actually think that is a fun note to end on. So listen, I hope you guys all have an awesome holiday weekend. We wanted to throw this together for you guys tonight, and we're going to put it out there for you guys to listen to while you're doing your Labor Day celebrations. And we also want to remind everybody to come check out the website, dynastyfootballfactory.com. Check out all the podcasts that we have. There's links to every one of them there. And, you know, Shane, I had a lot of fun with you tonight doing this, and we're going to be in Vegas next weekend. And I think that's going to be a lot of fun, too. We're going to have a lot of guests. We're going to have people calling in, and we're going to have people stepping in. So we should have some fun next weekend.
Yeah, we should. Don't forget, go join our Patreon program, people.
And the last thing we want to mention is our sponsor, gtbets.eu. And gtbets.eu is giving away free money, so sign up today. Register now and earn up to $500 in free money for your first deposit, and then up to $500 on your second deposit. Simply add Trades HQ in the referred by field to get the highest possible welcome bonus. The other thing they're doing, and we actually thought this was pretty funny for Shane, because they're giving you a favorite team point discount. So any team, whether it's NFL, NBA, college football, college basketball, whatever, you get free half a point on two teams in your league for the entire regular season. And the reason we thought that was funny, because if Shane bets against the Eagles in the first week, we're wondering how that half a point's going to affect it. And you should see his face right now.
Well, you know what's funny, though? I tweeted this out last night, and I was actually playing a little video poker on there last night.
Yeah, on GG Bets?
Yeah, I actually went on to put some money on the U.S. Open, Serena over Venus, but the match had already started, so I couldn't. So
I guess you gotta pay attention to the time, huh?
Yeah, so I decided to play a little video poker. So I won $120 in about 25 minutes and then logged out for the night.
And that's awesome. And that's a whole nother story on how you guys should bet. So yeah, go on over to gtbets.eu, get in there. Obviously, now you can play video poker, like Shane said. And there's also a weekly 10% casino rebate and a monthly 15% horse rebate. So there's a lot of things going on over there. Just make sure that you enter Trades HQ in the referred by field. And it was a lot of fun. I'm glad we jumped on here and did this, because there was a lot of information and a lot of stuff that happened today. And check us out next week and get on to our iTunes at Dynasty Trades HQ and give us a rate and review. And check out the website of everything that's going on there. And look for everything that we're going to do next weekend, including running some shows. We're going to try to do a Facebook Live thing, maybe a Periscope thing, maybe an Instagram thing, or maybe just a whole bunch of drinking and talking. So we'll talk to you guys next week.
Stay dope.
Bye.